Cliff Central. The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com. Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Future CEOs here on Cliff Central, and it's so good to be with you. It'll be a good conversation with Dr. Motara.
You know, when people are like really making changes and really adding value to society and doing some serious, hard, added, valued work with their lives, that really just puts me on another level, another trajectory, which means future CEOs really can give you the tools to reach your fullest potential and your fullest desires.
So if this is the first time that you are hearing the show, who are we speaking to in these conversations? Well, if you say, yes, I'm a future CEO, well, then it must be you. Well, what does that mean? Perhaps you have started your own business and you're really pushing to fast track it and make growth happen, scale it. We spoke about that last week. Or maybe you are in your career, mid-level, maybe even a junior manager, and you're saying, how do I fast track my career? Well, this is the show for you. So let's get straight into it, because we've got another very interesting guest here in
the
studio. Shall we get Evan Lockhart Barker to introduce himself? Evan, welcome to the show. It's good to have you.
Thanks very much, guys. Nice to be here.
So very, very quickly, please tell everyone who you are.
Certainly. After that mouthful of a surname,
yeah.
I'll add some more to it. I'm currently the managing director of Saint-Gobain Weber. It's one of the companies in a larger organization, obviously called Saint-Gobain.
Hold on.
Yeah?
There's a French pronunciation here.
There is.
Do the French for us,
come
please.
On.
I have a go at it. So we refer to not as Weber, because there's a Weber bride, Weber business. We're not that. And the French call it Weber.
Okay.
Merci, monsieur.
Very nice. Sorry, we interrupted you. Then you're
no
also the chief marketing officer of Saint-Gobain South Africa.
For South Africa, yeah.
Is that okay? Just tell us how that works. I mean, on the one hand, you're an MD, but then you're also a chief marketing officer. That could be quite confusing.
Keep a few hats going.
Yeah.
So let me give some context to Saint-Gobain for the listeners. Mm. I mean, this is an organization that's 350 years old.
Mm. Wow.
So we started some time back. We are principally in the construction and manufacture of building materials, and typically in the energy efficient space.
Correct.
We're in about 64 countries. We have around 170,000 employees. So this is a large multinational. We're rated as one of the top 100 innovative companies in the world.
Wow.
And do quite a lot of significant investment into R&D, really about sustainability and into more energy efficiency and energy conservation right across the spectrum, what we refer to as the built environment.
Fantastic. Well, Klubi, again, we've got some great people on the show, don't we?
Earth warriors in a kind of sense. But listen, take us back.
Mm.
How did it all begin? How did your love for doing what you're doing and actually helping the environment and at the same time helping humanity and being good at it and being a leader, how did that all begin?
Sure. So I'll make reference to the two hats. I'm principally a marketer and always have been, and I think I always will be. It's a passion that, strangely enough, started very young, just wanting to give people a different experience and a better experience. And I come from a little town in the Free State, so that was a bit of an odd place to kind of grow up and have this kind of mindset.
Okay.
I think the sustainability, and I'll be honest, has probably been more evolved in the last 5 to 10 years. So if I run through my career quickly, I had a long career in radio, which I don't think you know about.
No, we didn't.
Half left for today.
Well, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. It's good to be here. Well, this side, not that side. And then into banking. And although I had a great time in banking, I didn't feel like it was adding the right kind of value for me. And that's no disrespect to the industry. It's an incredible industry with incredible people and very bright people.
Hmm.
And then find myself in this organization called Saint-Gobain, where I think we have a real principal opportunity to make a difference.
Mm.
And really the opportunity, if I explore it here in South Africa, is to build it within a much more efficient way. So we have a water crisis, we have an energy crisis, but yet we're not probably doing enough to cater for those things. So Saint-Gobain really has a strong concept called multi-comfort, which is whether it's a school or a hospital or an affordable house, whatever the spectrum, to make sure that we conserve energy in the way we manufacture materials, in the way we build, whatever built environment needs to be done, and the long-term maintenance of these things so that you're not using a lot of energy or not wasting water. So that's really where you come across. We have this wide spectrum of, we manufacture very simple products. And at the same time, my day can be spent with architects or developers who are building, you know, world-class cities, world-class environments, or the next generation of schools, which actually gets very exciting.
It is.
Or just up my street.
The school stuff. Yeah. I thought about the manufacturing building materials. I'm like, okay, interesting. So, Evan, please just talk us through, and I think I interrupted you, then the two hats thing.
Yeah, sure.
How did that come about, please?
So I joined Saint-Gobain 5 years ago as the marketing director for one particular division, which we call the gypsum activity. So this is the business that typically does ceiling boards and plasterboard and all of that. And then a year ago, I was fortunate to be offered the managing director position of Weber. But I guess certain things I can't let go. There's a lot of large-scale initiatives in place that I would still like to manage to fruition. I mean, these include us working with concepts like Youth Build, where we are teaching young people the skills of our industry.
Lovely.
And in my view, we're giving them a better skill, where they can earn a better wage and a better rate to actually fulfill their lives and have better lives. All the way to, you know, running large-scale projects where we're teaching residential builders to build in a better way, in a more efficient way. Mm. Not with all this waste, not with all this, you know, wastage of water, wastage of energy. And the big thing around that is around comfort. We are about to enter winter in this town. What do we all fear? Being cold in our houses, being uncomfortable in our houses. Actually, we don't need to have houses like that. So for us, we have better products. We have products and systems and solutions that actually exist now to create more comfortable homes or more comfortable schools that actually deliver better performance. And that's really where we're coming from when I make use of the word multi-comfort.
Sure. And so then the journey there, you were pulled into this managing director position on the basis of what? So often people are pulled in because they perform well. But people don't assess those leaders well enough around their management skills and perhaps their leadership skills. Based on what? How did you get pulled into a position of managing director? Why you?
Sure. Yeah, I guess it's always a tough question from this side of the seat. I think myself, I'm a little bit of an antagonist at times, in the sense, taken in a positive context, is like to challenge the status quo. Mm. So, you know, behind marketing, I think that is your task. Your task is to look at the obvious stuff and look if there isn't a different way to do it. I like innovation, which means if you show me A to B, I'll probably show you another route between A to B, just because, you know, I think that's always been part of my makeup and part of the roles that I've had in different industries to go, how can we do this better? What actually does the customer want out of it?
Yes.
Or the person who's using or buying the product, and not necessarily what the organization wants. So hence I use that often I'm an antagonist internally, because what's good for the business isn't always what's good for the customer, and vice versa. And there's a balance that needs to be sometimes teased out between those two things. So I think that's something that goes in my favor, in the sense that I challenge the status quo. I don't necessarily accept either side of the fence until we've really understood it. And largely, I like change and transition. So,
great qualities. We're loving this.
Oh, well, thank you.
Great qualities.
So change and transition is difficult, because most people, we need to change from a poor-performing business to a better-performing business. And transition, there comes largely with people. And I think as you get into more senior roles, particularly for myself, I've started letting go of where you're a specialist and where you're expert.
Yeah,
start, you know, spend more of your day talking to people, and be that clients, be that your internal staff, be that prospective talent that you want to hire. And then I think your mind shifts in an MD role, you know, if I can talk for myself like that. You're no longer having to tighten the bolts or fix things on a daily basis. You're able to really step back and then go at things at a completely different angle. I love the idea of growing people. In our business, actually, we're in construction and manufacturing, and it's lots of males, etc. We've got an awesome talent pool of some really interesting young women that are growing across the spectrum with fantastic backgrounds in architecture or engineering. And that actually enthuses me about our industry, because we're going to see some really interesting talent and outcomes out of this space with nurturing this kind of new talent in our industry.
Very nice.
It sounds too good to be true. So let's have a bit of a reality check.
Sure.
Tell us about the bad times, the mistakes, the downside of becoming the MD. or the journey of that?
Sure. I think there's two great lessons I've been given and have probably experienced. One is certainly that when you get into more senior roles, you get watched. And I don't think you necessarily understand that until you've had some time in the seat. But your actions and your behaviors and your words and your demeanor and whatever it is that you're walking around with really does get watched by an entire organization.
Yeah, top and bottom.
Top and bottom.
I mean, left and right.
Absolutely.
Right?
Nice
and
point.
And I think that's a great learning point for anybody who's listening to really kind of understand that how you behave and how you conduct yourself really is an example of the culture you're setting, the tempo you're setting in the business, and the kind of the way you want to resolve things. So if I come in and throw things around my office, then I guess that's the way I want the business to be run. But if I attack things in a different way, then you know, hopefully I'm teaching people that that's the way we can solve problems. I think we've all and continue to work for good people and amazing people, and you've got to take the best out of that. And we've all had some time when you haven't worked with someone, and I think those lessons are just as valuable. And one of those lessons were make mistakes.
Make mistakes.
Make mistakes.
Okay.
We should, and I know I've mentioned this often in my business, I'll never fire someone for making a mistake because that's how we learn. And I was very fortunate in my early days to go down a road, do something, and it didn't work out and never really have the consequence of being marched out the door for those things. But for me, you learn massively like that, and you ultimately never do that error again.
Correct.
So I have a test and learn approach and a simple philosophy that I'll try to explain, which is go out and go do things. And the more you do, the more mistakes you'll make, but the better things you'll do. But if you sit in the office and do nothing, you're probably going to have me down your neck.
Point.
And those are two major lessons that I've enjoyed. So I really encourage people in my teams, in my office, in our business, which is around 200 people, to go and play and make mistakes and acknowledge what they've done and take ownership of those things to really move forward. Because then they don't learn. Well, they do learn if they acknowledge what they've done.
Gil Overd, one of the co-CEOs and co-founders of the Creative Council, to us said that he welcomes mistakes as well, but what he doesn't welcome is making the same mistake.
Same mistake.
So I guess we must always put that in context and make sure that we're not making the same mistake, but that we are perhaps doing enough to make some mistakes along the way that will be seen as learning opportunities.
Absolutely.
Luby?
Passion and skill is what you expect from Evan, the marketing guy. Evan does not disappoint. What is special about him is his humility. He really listens to business and seeks to meet objectives. He is creative, dynamic, leading small teams without dominating them. I think that's a great way to put in two sentences what you've just told us.
Sure.
Tell us more about leadership qualities. What does it take to lead an organization?
Can I adjust that question a little bit? What are your three pillars of leadership?
Okay, Gareth. Okay.
Three pillars of leadership.
Yep. So, one of the things for me will always be around innovation. I like people who can take something they've been given and look at it and go, okay, there's a better way to do this. So I'm always driven by new ideas and new concepts to make things that are long and difficult short and quick and easy for both sides, for the business, of course, and, of course, for the customer experience. So I guess one of the large principles, I would revert to the second one about test and learn or make mistakes is one of my leadership traits that I like to talk about and give people the freedom to play around with. The third one around my own self would be, I guess we've got to have fun at the end of the day.
Yay, we love that.
And I'm very fortunate to have a great team where they remind me to have fun as well. Because you can be the boss and be serious or have a lot on your plate and days and weeks fly by. And I have a great team that can remind me that actually we're there to have fun and let's go do this or let's have a breakfast or, you know, let's go and have this kind of engagement. And I think we do forget about it and life can be serious and difficult. And I'm a father of three young girls and no shortage of things that keep me busy. But every now and again, we forget to have fun. And I think, you know, life can be short. And I think every now and again, you'll stop the bus and go, why am I doing all of this and what really adds value and have a bit of fun, because I think then you get your passion back and you get your interest back and you land up going back to the things you love, which are probably good for business anyway and good for yourself.
So
get into a better path.
I hear you say fun, and my only concern is that people may hear that and think, well, I must always be having fun, and that's not really what you're saying, right?
No. No, I think I take the – fact that business is quite serious, and we have overseas shareholders and French shareholders that are expecting performance from us. At the same time, I think you can't drive a drone workforce today. We've got, in our business, people who come out of school, two guys who have been there for as long as I've been alive. And that really is a balance. So, you know, everybody has a job. We've got serious targets to meet. We've got responsibilities. You know, we are driven through really strong principles of conduct and action in our French business, which drive the way we should behave. But at the same time, we're also there to enjoy our lives. You can't, I don't think you can have a disconnect between 8 and 6, whatever your work hours are, and your home life. You've really got to be able to live a good life on both of those walls, if I can call it.
Okay, very nice. I like the idea of satisfaction also being perhaps synonymous with fun as well. Luby, you've got some really good questions lined up here.
To get ahead in business, is it better to have skills or connections?
I'm of the believer that the skills need to be there. It helps people focus themselves. It allows them to have tested themselves, to have put the rigor and the grit and the time in. There does come to a point where I think we need to teach people to leverage their networks. And I think that's part of, you know, the earlier question about where I spend my time. It's primarily with people and primarily connecting dots and joining networks together. I'm fortunate that I've come from media to financial services into manufacturing. And I think for the first time, I can see the value of networks and putting these things together.
Yes.
But skills are important. And I think we have a young country and a young economy. And I heard some horrible stats about youth unemployment 2 days ago. So we really need to drive skills in our country right across the board. From getting from in our industry, I would say from moving away from really having cheap labor to having skilled labor that can earn a better rate and we can build better ultimately to keep that story a bit short. But skills across our business and across the industry are critical. I mean, how many people have horrible construction stories and these things?
Sure.
You know, this is typically where we have a big void in our industry.
So I'm just thinking as you're talking here about the skills that are required, and Kluby and I, we were at one of the Gibbs forums the other night talking about the division between strategy development and execution. Then one of the comments that came out of that was that a lot of MDs or CEOs are number, you know, bean counters. There's a lot of those kinds of individuals thinking in that sort of way. You come in with a marketing spin, a marketing angle. Just help us to understand how you juggle maybe some of the instincts that you have as a result of being a marketer with this idea that you have to still be accountable for the numbers. And there must be something that they also are wanting from you because you're a marketer, but then they still need those numbers.
The numbers, absolutely. And I'll be honest, you know, it is a really good test of myself at the time to balance those two things, because you have a default, of course. My default is marketing in that space, in business development. And it's always easy to run back to those things. But in my role, I have a number of different responsibilities and an executive team that all equally need my time. I think the one transition for me is to really get to understand, and it's a great exercise that I'm busy with now in our business, the organization design.
Okay.
So to really get down to what's this role, what's the job description, what is the key function of this role. What value do they add? And really knit it all together. And if I reflect on my entire career, haven't seen organizations do this exercise very well, where you go, why is everybody here? And are there gaps between, you know, strategy and execution? And why do they exist? Do they exist because you have a gap in a layer of people, or you have a layer of communication in laying these things through? So we've done this great exercise, you know, in a manufacturing environment. Of course, we've got a lot of shop floor employees, blue-collar employees. And I say what, they're as impassionate about this business as I am, if not at times more, because they really get to understand of putting this thing together, seeing a product go off in a truck, and not unfortunately always seeing what happens on the other side. So we try to integrate these things. We take some of our teams out to our key customers, get them to see how it's been applied, and take that experience for them back into the manufacturing environment.
Very nice.
So I think that's one aspect of having a marketing background and running a business, is that you try to close the loop between these things, and they're not just siloed or compartments or departments that must just do their job. They must integrate. So the organizational design exercise has been very powerful. Off the back of that, you get to then understand where your leadership gaps are in a business. Mm. So who's doing what or who's not doing what, and what kind of skills do we need to help the marketing manager or the finance manager or the sales manager integrate and work better for themselves, and of course for me always their first, their own career development, and then second of that, the business will always benefit from that. Mm. And then really drive that into performance management. So as we said earlier, you know, business is about numbers and we have to measure everything we do. And our business, you know, manufacturing is often about waste. So if you're doing something wrong, you're wasting money.
Sure.
And in our business, you can do that with not realizing and waste a lot of money, or what we call margin. So you're losing money. So performance management is just kind of keeping everybody on track to be able to do what they do, recognize the value of what they do, and then kind of get their personal satisfaction. I think you were making the comment earlier. Mm. Get the personal satisfaction out that over a quarter, you've actually achieved what you wanted to do, rather than just leaving and having one day look like another, which looks like another year, and it's May next week, or, you know, time
10 years down the line.
10 years, boss, absolutely.
You know what, you're so unique, and I think that's why you're such a disruptor, and you're changing the status quo. I'm loving just where you're coming from, you
Thank
know.
You.
So from where you're at now, talk to yourself 10 years ago. Give yourself advice. What would you do different, or would you do things the same? Yeah.
I think so. I think a lot of it is about being a little bit more braver. Having leveraged those networks now, could have done those things. I think we, you know, certainly I would give, if someone was 30 old and sitting in front of me, I'd say, stretch your wings. Don't be afraid to fall. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. Don't be afraid to challenge the norm. And also, to a large extent, if you're unhappy in a job, exit. Go find something else to go do. Don't waste time. Time's I feel like I was 30 the other day. Time goes very quickly. You know, you have three kids and you get lost in many other things. So time goes quickly. So, you know, we're here for a short, precious time. And hence, I think the fun aspect is probably something that's come back to me now. Because I think your 20s and your 30s, I took my career very seriously. I worked for a couple of big banks and I worked hard, and I'm sure I would have got to good places there. But at the same time, you've also got to come home and love what you do and grow from that as well as an individual. Firstly,
I think I hear Dr. Mortara, who was just in the previous conversation with us, his words echoed here, and where he just said, live in the moment, because you can't live in the past, you can't live in the future. I mean, you can plan, certainly, but make sure that whatever the future holds, you're putting it back into the moment, into now. We are running out of time. We have maybe 1 minute left. We have a Future CEOs community which is filled with young, ambitious, dynamic individuals who are wanting to fast-track their careers, as we mentioned in the beginning of the show. Also, some who are wanting to build their own businesses. A few words of counsel and advice to those individuals as you reflect on your own journey through the various industries that you've been at, but now as a managing director as well.
Yeah, I think plot the plan as clearly as you can.
Okay.
I'm a great... And I think I've learned this exercise recently of reflection, of taking some time, having a journal, you know, not about what breakfast you had, but really about reflecting how you handled something or could you have handled it better.
Nice.
You know, I did a presentation some time ago and I really reflected afterwards that I could have done it better, could have prepared better, could have put the points across better. So I think reflection's key. It's not a new idea, but we don't do it enough. Have a simple plan about going forward and then have some things about learning and growing. I mean, I think the only thing that really frustrates me if I look at corporate and organizations is that there are some people who want to learn and grow all the time, and the others are just very happy with the status quo. And I think we've got to help the latter. But learning and growing is interesting. Put some milestones out, go out and learn new things. And as you said, use your network and go talk to different people and ask questions. I'm always just very surprised what great advice you can get when you ask a couple of questions and you
exactly
don't talk
right.
so much and you listen.
Yeah.
and ask
nice
questions.
Very, very nice. Very, very nice.
Who are your influences? Rounding it up, literally last
guys.
Question.
Of course, I'm a marketing guy. So Seth Godin is
oh, yes.
just a marketing guru.
Very nice.
What he says is just like, I think makes all of us feel quite stupid. But it's good. So it keeps us on our toes. I like the guy Tim Ferriss, who wrote 4-Hour Work Week.
Yep. You know it?
Yep. Certainly an aspiration. I would love to have a 4-Hour Work Week. And, you know, there's obviously some other big names, you know, typically the more digital-aspired guys. But, I mean, I think locally this is what our community misses. We need to get in touch with some key people here and leverage some of that, the good South African stuff.
Well, that's what we're doing exactly right now with you. So thank you, Evan Lockhart-Barker, for being part of our show and part of the education of our future CEOs community. Evan Lockhart-Barker, the MD of Saint-Gobain.
Never in the box kind of guy.
Alright, we'll be back same time, same place next week. Thanks for listening, and go out and do.
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com. Cliff Central Revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.